Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
You're listening to The Sound.
I lay me down tonight.
International Internet Radio Program. We are pleased to have you with us today, wherever you are listening in, whatever time of day, night, or season in your life. We want to welcome all the women and the men. We're finding out we have a 50% male audience.
Yay.
So we want to say thank you for all the real men that are love Jesus and are listening tonight.
Amen.
Let's open in prayer, and then I'm going to hand it over to my sister Debbie that has oodles of wonderful information to share with you tonight. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We pray that you would bless everyone listening, everyone present today. We thank you that you're a good God and you just want what's right and good for our lives, Lord. We thank you that you want to give us more abundantly above all we can ask, all we can think. We pray that if someone's here tonight or listening to the sound of my voice right now that needs your touch, that they would be able to feel that touch tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, here's my sister Debbie. I know if you're listening by radio, you cannot tell the difference between our voices, but I do promise it will be someone else talking here in a second.
It almost sounds like then I start talking again.
Okay. Well, we're talking about Lisa Brevere's book, and it's Lioness Arising. And, you know, in the animal kingdom, there really is no gender confusion. They each know what they're supposed to do, what their role is, and it's the same with the lions and the lionesses. The lions know their what their role is, and the lionesses know theirs. And so the lion will protect the females. That's his job. And her job is to go out and hunt and make food, just like ours are at home a lot, and also to bring forth a legacy for the lion. So that's what we need to be doing. We need to be working together with, you know, as husband and wife. And so Lisa has a definition of submission. Now, a lot of times, you know, men will want to misquote this and say, yeah, submit women, you need to, so they can be abusive and do whatever they want. But that's not how it's supposed to be. Lisa's definition of sub, which is under, and then mission is under assignment. So we are under assignment together with our spouses, and that's how it should be, that we're working together and serving one another, not one lording over the other one. And we can actually use that word submission or under a mission together, even if we're working under the pastor or under the choir leader or under the Sunday school superintendent or even at work. We're all working together in a mission together. So this is any woman can spend a man's money riding his car and order off the menu. Only a real woman can help a man achieve his goals, push him to be successful, compliment him regularly, and never kick him when he's down. Men, if you find a woman like this, marry her. People talk about soulmates, and I think that a good definition of a soulmate is someone who supports you and encourages you to be your very best, and that you each do that for the other. Now, I was thinking about Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, and I started looking that up on the internet, and I found some really interesting things. First of all, you know, obviously, God made Eve from Adam's rib. Well, now, why did God choose a rib out of anything? Well, blood cells are made in the bone marrow. Leviticus 17:10-14 says the life is in the blood. Not only are red and white blood cells and platelets made, but also stem cells. And stem cells are used for reproduction and cloning. This is a cloning scientist's dream, the rib, so or the bone. So, but why a rib? Out of everything, why a rib? This is the only bone in man that has the ability to repair itself and totally regenerate itself. It can be removed like a banana as long as the surrounding tissue are still there. The osteoblasts are there to build a new rib. Also, the rib is one of the few bones that continue to make red marrow or blood cells in adults. There's a fable about that men have less ribs than women or something, and that's totally untrue. But again, why didn't God just take dust out of the earth? Why did he do this bone? He didn't have to do that. Well, obviously he didn't have to do that anyway, but why didn't he just take more dust and make a woman like he did the man and the animals? No, he chose to have this be bone in my bone, flesh in my flesh. And it's really unique because God took Adam's DNA and created a beautiful, unique person, similar to a child who would take some DNA from their father and their mother and make a unique and beautiful creature. So I thought that was really interesting. And another interesting thing is, let's look at Christ, who was also called the second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15. When he was dying on the cross, the centurion, or Roman soldier, pierced his side to make sure he was dead. Now, piercing your side is right in that same area of the rib. And when blood flowed out, and the second he died, the moment he died, his bride, the church, was created. I thought that was very interesting. Yeah. So women are made from the rib of man, not from his head to command her, not from his foot to be stepped upon, but from his side to be his partner, under his arm to be protected by him, and near his heart to be loved by him. Now, earlier I mentioned that a real woman loves and supports her husband, but a real man doesn't hurt a woman. He should be careful if he makes her cry, because in Psalms 56:8 it says that God records and bottles our tears. God counts your every tear. He hears your every prayer. He knows your every need, and you may not feel that he's there, but he hasn't forgotten you. He will work things out in his time, so don't ever give up hope. Now, there's five things that God's children should never worry about. Number one, being forsaken. In Hebrews 13:5, it says he will never leave us or forsake us. Two, you should never feel useless, because in 1 Corinthians 12:12 to 31, it says we're all given our own talents and abilities. Three, we shouldn't worry about the future. God has it under control. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. And in John 14:1 to 3, it says, I go to prepare a place for you. So he has your future, both on earth and in heaven. And fourth, don't feel like you're bothering God with your prayers. He loves to hear your prayers. He loves and longs for that communication. And it says on 1 Peter 5:7, one of the first verses I ever learned as a kid was, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And number five, feeling unforgiven. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Tammy,
good stuff.
What do you have?
Really good.
Super good.
Good stuff. Well, I was not going to do this one on the radio, but I guess I will. And maybe somebody needs it tonight. But this is off the subject, but a little bit on the subject, because we take these promises and we take these truths and we try to apply it to our life, and sometimes there's a word that gets in our way, and that's depression. And depression can come in many different forms. And the most common depression is situational depression. I am so depressed about the situation. Now, you don't even have to raise your hands, because I know we've all felt that. Absolutely. Whether it would be financial or physical or emotional or spiritual, we've felt depressed. We felt stagnant, stuck, depressed. And for my one of my term papers, I had actually written about social work with the aging population, and there's a very, very high percentage of people that are 55 and older that are depressed. And one of the top five reasons that somebody over the age of 75 dies is suicide.
Wow.
And I was real taken back with that, because to me, I think of a happy old lady, a happy old man, somebody that's happy and doing well, which brings me to the point of, if you say, a little old lady or a little old man, you know why? Because if they're big, they don't live that long. People that are overweight, have you ever seen somebody that weighs 300 pounds that's 85
yes.
years old? Usually not. So, unfortunately, obesity is a big cause of death, too, in any age group, even little children, even more in children, which just hurts my heart.
It's the equivalent of having cancer as far as your lifespan.
Right.
Stress.
Yeah. So it's sad. So I'll read a little bit more of this later, but I was just going to show you a couple signs of depression. That is feeling sad or empty, feeling hopeless, irritable, anxious, or guilty, loss of interest in your favorite activities,
feeling very tired, not just tired, once in a while, very tired. Not being able to concentrate or remember details, I think we all have that. Not being able to sleep or sleeping too much. Overeating or not wanting to eat at all. Thoughts of suicide, suicide attempts, aches or pains, headaches, cramps, or digestive problems can all be a sign of depression. And so I look at these and I'm thinking what the Word of God says. That He comes to us to give us life more abundantly. And as I'm reading these things, this is not abundant living. This is not abundant living. And so I had a girl come up to me at one point a couple years ago and say that someone said she had lack of faith because she was depressed. And I don't think that's the case. She had found a medication the doctor had found for her that worked very well for her. There was a very low dose of something that just helped her. And her sister said, if you don't quit taking it, you're not saved. And, you know, I talked to one of our pastors about this, and his response is, if I don't take the medication I need because I have a, I have fake things in my heart and my body and my wife has fake hips, if we don't take the medication that we're supposed to take, we wouldn't just not have faith. We wouldn't have life either. We'd be dead because there's certain things that we have to do. And so I asked her, can you live abundantly without this? You know, is this something that you believe is an answer to prayer? When Dr. Luke followed Jesus, he didn't turn to him and say, quit practicing medicine. He didn't. But he told the fishermen to put their fishing rods down and come over and let's do something else. Let's fish for men. So I believe that there's very smart Christian medical doctors in this world. Absolutely there is. I thank God for chemotherapy and radiation, or else my aunt would have gone to heaven, what, 30 years ago, 27 years ago? So I have to look at these things, and I have to say, you know, where's our balance? What is it? And I had a conversation with my good friend Deborah on the way here that God sees us individually, and God answers our prayers individually, and He talks to us individually. I text messaged 5 or 6 of my good friends today, and I said, hey, pray for me. I've got something I'm going through right now, and just it was whoever I just had right there, and I out of those 5 people, 3 people sent me back the same scripture verse. These women don't know each other. And it was peace I give you, not as the world gives. I give this peace to you. And I thought, you know, God, that is so for me. I visited Nancy down the street, who's the women's director of the small community church by my house, the Little Beach Church. And I went in today because they were having a social gathering, and I was going to ask her to come speak at our retreat. And as I came in, the verse that they had was, peace I give to you. And, you know when God wants you to deal with something, He keeps pushing it back in your face. And I thought, you know, how do we not sink into discouragement and depression? There's a fine line there. But how do we not sink into that? By doing what the Bible says and having dreams and goals and visions and things that are bigger than me. I've seen a lot of moms say, you know, I've been so discouraged, but I just can't because I look in the eyes of my child. And I know that they're looking at me, and I'm thinking, I can't be discouraged. I was like, well, thank God you have the eyes of your child there. You know, thank God you have the eyes. But you know what? We have the eyes of the world that watches us all the time. We have the eyes of the world and saying, boy, she's going to give up hope. I'm going to give up hope. You know, and sometimes we have to pick ourselves up and drag ourselves off of the ground. And we have to make that phone call and say, Mary, I am so discouraged today. I need you to pray for me. You know, and the Bible says, and I don't have that reference here, I'm sorry, but it says that we're supposed to live a life in the message that says, mind your own business. To mind your own business, live a quiet life, and a life that you work with your hands. And I'm thinking, man, how many times would I not be discouraged if I just minded my own business? Or I lived quietly and I worked with my hands, which means do what I can do right here, and otherwise I can't do it. You know what? It's got to be God. And a lady stood up in that chapel today who was, I don't know how old she was, and she stood up and she says, I have said for so long, God, give me the strength to do what I need to do. And then she says, but you know what? I've been studying the study and the letters from Paul, and I realize I need to quit saying, God, give me strength. And I need to start saying, God, let me see your strength in this because I don't have it. And I thought, wow, there's a lot of truth in that. At the times that we feel so discouraged, how much are we just relying on ourselves? And how much are we saying, I need to make more money, I need to do this, I need to get... You know what? We can't do it. We're not supposed to do it. We're supposed to rely on His strength. Because how many of you have a lot of weaknesses? Oh, my word. Well, did you know what? Then God has a lot of strength. Because that's where His strength comes through. Beth Moore does a study, and she has you write on the palms of your hands. And on one side, and this is a verse in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, I believe. Don't quote me. I'm not sure. It is over there somewhere. That it says, not everyone will have faith. And she says, she writes it on her left hand, not everyone will have faith. The second part of that verse is, but God is faithful. And so she started bringing up situations. Are you discouraged because somebody's come against you and said the wrong thing or done this or hurt your feelings? Not everyone is going to have faith, but God is faithful. And she had all these people, and every problem they had, every discouragement they had, she would say, read your left hand. Now read your right hand. Now take that in and understand that there is nobody that's going to stand up and do what you need them to do in your life. God is faithful. God is the one that's going to follow through. God is going to do this. The doctor says this, but God says this. Your friend says this, but God says this. And I just saw this lady next to me, just, and she's a widow, and she writes, she's putting this on her hand. She says, oh, it's just too hard. My handwriting's too bad. I just can't do it. And as Beth Moore's saying it on the video, she's going like this. And I look over. I said, you have that verse in your heart, don't you? She said, yeah, I do. I do. I have it in my heart. I don't have to have it on my hands. I have it in my heart. And I thought, to take those words in, and this lady next to me, as I always say that when I grow up, I want to be like Esther. Her name's Esther. And we go, you know, I'll visit this group and help this lady who runs this group over there, and she's become a good friend of mine. And I say, when I grow up, I'm going to be like Esther. Oh, you mean when you grow 90 years old, you're going to be like Esther? No, I want to get it down at 45. I want to be like her. I want to be like her. She's by herself, and she mentors women. And now she mentors the women's daughters. And now she's mentoring the women's granddaughters.
Wow.
Third generation of mentorship. From older women to younger women. And I want to be like her. And I'm thinking, you know, does she feel discouragement? I bet she absolutely does. Does she feel depression? Absolutely. She's had some situations. She lost her husband to death. You know that there was situational depression there. But she knows a God that's greater. She doesn't just have him right here in her hand. She has him right here in her heart. So I really encourage you, if you're struggling with depression or discouragement, to be able to take those words of God. And don't just have them on your hands, but have them in your heart. And restart memorizing the scripture. I've been trying to memorize scripture in the morning with my sons. And just having a scripture verse and setting it right here. And I can still remember my little son, Brooks, at 3.5, 4 years old, going to a Christian preschool. And I was looking at the TV, and we were talking about, do we need to move to the cabin? Are we going to sell our house? What are we going to do? And I was so discouraged. And he sat down next to me, and he's playing a little video game next to me, and like those kids are like this. He sits down next to me, and he says, have I not commanded you to be strong in the Lord? Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go, Mom. And walked out.
Oh, my word.
And just a little kid. He's a little kid. It's his favorite verse, Joshua 1:9. So when I go see him, when he goes to wrestling matches, and this big kid came in to wrestle him, and I thought, oh, Lord, help him. You know, because it doesn't go on age. It goes on weight. So that kid can be this tall and all muscle, and there's my little
boy. That's what we're
going to
do with girlfriends, too.
Yeah, it's just going to be all on weight. Yeah. All right, we're gonna set up that way for prayer partners.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
on weight. There's our scale. So,
yes.
And, you know, as he's going to go in there, this kid who's won a state convention is taunting my son. And he's making fun of him. And I'm getting angry. And the mom is saying, just kick it, you know, next to me. And I'm, that's my son. And they get out there on the mat. And my son is laying on his stomach. And the guy's over top of him. And I'm very close. It's a big convention. And I come down on my knees like this. And he can hear me like he's about as far away as I am from Layla. And I look over it, and I said to him, son, Joshua 1:9. And he took and he reared up his arms, and he flipped that kid over, And I was like, you know what? It wasn't my words, but he knew what those words were. It wasn't just mom talking. I was like, and sometimes his legal name is Joshua anyway. His first name is Joshua. So sometimes I'll just look at him and I'll go, Joshua. And he'll look at me and go, 1-9.
Oh, love it.
And I think, you know what? Many years after we've gone away from this world, we've gone to heaven, you know, our words will be left here. But more than that, the words of God will be left here. And what I share with you in God's word is going to go so much further than my opinions. And so I really challenge you today, if you feel that emptiness or that hopefulness or that hopelessness or that irritability, anxiety, and not interested in favorite activities, feeling very tired, very blue, very this, very that, to find those words again and hold them in your heart. Because not only will that keep us away from depression, but according to the Bible, it says to hide those words in my heart that I won't sin against him. Mm-hmm. And it says that if we seek him first and everything we do, that he's going to direct our paths. And I was explaining this to youth group on Sunday night. If Debbie and I had some money come into our life, and she thinks it's luck and I think it's God, she can say, oh, I'm just lucky. Oh, I've been just lucky. Well, she has to wait a long time for maybe that luck to come again. Or maybe it comes again in 10 minutes, whatever. But if I'm thanking God, I'm saying, God, I appreciate what you're doing to me right now. You're going to bring the right people in my life, and you did this, and you blessed me with this money. Both of us didn't know where we were going to get. Then what am I going to do? I'm going to come to you. We're going to praise God together. And what's it going to do? It's going to change my next choices. See how he directs our paths when we give him the praise and we thank him for what he's doing. So as we close tonight, we say goodbye to our radio audience. She's going to say our goodbye here. We want to thank you for being with us, and we hope that you would join us again next week.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121, and we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe, and we want to thank our floor director, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.